It's Tuesday, April 16th. This is the Christian Commute, and this is the 15th show I've done without doing any intro music. Sorry. I'm a busy man, and being able to upload it quickly from the phone, in my opinion, is worth the degradation in production quality. And listen, if you're listening to the Christian Commute for production quality, I don't know what to say, because we've never had good... There's no we, it's just me. I've never had good production quality. I'm recording this in a car. On a headset. At least I have a headset now. Why am I so busy? Yesterday, two baseball games. Today, there's a baseball game I'm not going to. My son bats last on that team. My other son. But I'm going to pick the son who bats fourth on his team up at soccer practice. Wednesday, unplanned soccer practice, because my replacement coach is out of town, so I'm picking up my soccer team. Thursday, baseball game. Friday, baseball game. So, that just is all kinds of awesome. Oh, wait a minute. Saturday soccer. Sunday, 4 p.m., not missing church. Another soccer game. So, 7 days of sports, yes, please. So, all that to say is, I'm not going to take the time to add music to this. Sorry if you missed the music. If anybody wants to volunteer, how about this? To upload these for me, write in and volunteer. It's hard being a one-man show. Host, owner, producer, director... And speaking of all that stuff, remember that show topic, producer, director, actor? I'm going to punt that pretty far. Today's show title is A Billboard Too Far. And we're going to call it part one. Because I have a story to tell. And it's going to take a long time. And I think it's about me. But, you know, I don't like to make the shows about me. But I think it's particularly interesting. So, A Billboard Too Far. As titillating as that sounds, we're going to have to wait for it because I've got to get to the Bible chapter review. I have a question in the inbox about heresy and heterodoxy. Heresy and heterodoxy. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We're in Luke chapter 1. Verses 30 through 33. So we've already covered Gabriel coming to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, and his reaction. And we're right in the middle of Gabriel coming to Jesus' mother, Mary, and her reaction. And you're going to see it's very similar what happens. Angel comes with good news and says there's a baby about to be born, and it's going to be all kinds of awesome that this baby is about to be born, and the person hearing it is surprised. The angel said to Mary, who was perplexed at this greeting, greetings favored one, Mary was perplexed at the greeting the angel gave her. The angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. By the way, can that describe anybody other than the Messiah? If you're looking at Jesus or Old Testament Jewish prophecy, Old Testament Jewish is like saying unmarried bachelor. If you're looking at Old Testament prophecy or Jewish prophecy of the time, they were awaiting a Messiah. The Messiah is right there in the pages of the Old Testament being prophesied. Mary would have been aware of this, as would have been the rest of her society, as would have Zacharias. So here comes Gabriel, Mary's betrothed to Joseph, who's in the line of David. And I think Mary is also ancestrally in the line of David. These are David's people. And she says, you're going to bear a son. Now, telling a young girl, even though she's a virgin, that you're going to bear a son, like, of course I am. I'm a woman. I'm eventually going to bear a son, right? But this is something special. You're going to name him Jesus. Why? Why is she going to name him Jesus? In the Greek, Iesus, In the Hebrew, what is that in the Hebrew? Yeshua. What is that in the English? Joshua. Joshua. All right. So sometimes we read the Bible. I did this when I was a kid, and I was like, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 1st, 2nd Samuel. Oh, I got that out of the way. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. I forget the rest. Okay? So, and now Joshua, and Joshua in the battle of Jericho, 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 Joshua in the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua the son of Nun. All right, yeah, the replacement guy for Moses, the Mike DeBoer to Nick Saban. Okay, and yeah, and I never put it together until I was grown that Joshua was also Jesus's name. It's just translated or transliterated differently. In the Old Testament, Yeshua is translated into English as Joshua. In the New Testament, the Hebrew Yeshua is in the Greek Iesus, which we call Jesus, which is the same name. Which I think is weird as an Anglican or an Anglo, I'm not Anglican, as an Anglo, as a white person. I don't know, I would never name anybody Jesus. I don't have any friends named Jesus, but I know a lot of people named Joshua. And then I see Hispanic people and they're Jesus, Jesus. Why are y'all naming people Jesus? Can't name people Jesus. But yeah, we do. It's Joshua. Very common name at the time. Common still. But Gabriel told Mary to name her son Jesus because it means, literally Joshua means a savior of his people. He's a savior of his people. He's supposed to be named Jesus. She could have named him Elijah or Moses, and I'm sure kids were named that all the time. She could have named him Peter, James, or John, but she named him Jesus. And this was a very specific thing. Jesus is going to fill a role just like Joshua did. A role as a savior, leader of his people. He will be called the Son of the Most High. That's got to be the Messiah. Not everybody can be called the Son of the Most High. Now, we call Jesus the Son of God because he is the Son of God, because he's conceived through the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clear that God the Father is the Father of Jesus the Son. But Son of the Most High here, I don't think just means Son of God. I think it's a messianic title too. What I'm getting at is we can't point to this alone and say, see, he's divine. Because at the same time, he's going to inherit the throne of his father, David. What does it mean that David is a father to Jesus? It means that he's in the line of David. Just as the Jewish people would have considered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob their fathers, the patriarch. But my father, Abraham. And this is really, Father Abraham. Well, Abraham wasn't literally their father. He was like their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, but he's their patriarch, right? So in that way, David is the father of Jesus. Just like he would have been the father of Joseph. But Joseph is not the son of the Most High. That's the Messiah. And yes, because he really is literally God's son, so that can apply in that way as well. I'm just saying from an apologetic perspective, this isn't necessarily somewhere we can point to the Jehovah's Witnesses and say, see, he's the Son of God. Because they would probably argue, no. This is more of a messianic title. But here, the old Forrest Gump, I think it's both. Are we all floating around accidental-like? Or is it like Lieutenant Dan says, and we're fated? I think it's both. Somebody might say, that's Molinism, Forrest. All right. But this is the most important baby being born ever. Mary should be getting this idea because he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. So there's another patriarch. We go to David, and then we go all the way back to Jacob. So this isn't, by the way, this isn't a Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom thing. We're going back to Jacob. Because the kingdom split after David died in Israel, Southern and Northern. It's not only the kingdom of David, but the house of Jacob. The house of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where do the houses come from? Where do the tribes come from, I should say? The 12 tribes all come from Jacob. This is where we stop having patriarchs with Jacob and start having tribes. Everybody in Israel belongs to a tribe, or they're a Levite. So that the house of Jacob is all the tribes. He has the kingly throne of David, and he's the patriarch, if you will, of the house of Jacob. He reigns over the house of Jacob. All the tribes belong to him. Probably should call him a patriarch, because only Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the patriarchs, but you get what I'm saying. And his kingdom will have no end. In other words, oh, hold on. It's a Mason. Dear Lord, let's pray for his salvation in leaving Freemasonry. I got to be reminded to order more Mason books. Oh, it's a Prince Hall Mason. His kingdom will have no end. And just think about this. All the kings that you have in 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, their reigns end. And their kingdom eventually ends with Rome taking over, well, Babylon, really, and then they fall into Roman hands. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ on the throne of David is going to have no end. It's an eternal kingdom. So yeah, Mary, definitely you could say that you have found favor with God. And this is even a bigger announcement, by the way, than Zacharias got. Because Zacharias is like, John the Baptist is going to be your son, and he's going to turn the people back to God. Good. What's going to happen when they get turned back to God? The Messiah is going to come. And with that, we'll end the Bible chapter review. Ooh, and I'm up against it because I ordered a big old meatball sub, half off from Firehouse Subs. And I got to pick that up. And when I get that sub, show's over because I'm going to eat it. I want my sub. And which means I'm not getting all the way into Cartersville deep to get to my house or the soccer field. I'm going to stop in town and get my sub. I ordered it off the app to have it ready when I get there. Planning ahead. I got my son one too. I'm going to be his hero. And it was an accidental pun. I'm not making a hero pun about because subs are heroes. All right, let's move on to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christianity or apologetics? You can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Or you can dial 470-315-0875. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Today's question comes from the phone number. 470-315-0875. It is Jeff from Slow Drive in Florida. He said, Seth, you said that all heresy was not damnable. Is it not? And isn't there a difference between heresy and heterodoxy? Look at you with your two questions. So I guess his question is, what is the difference between heresy and heterodoxy? So first, let me answer this. I don't think I've ever said, unless I misspoke, which happens every other program, that all heresy is not damnable. I think what I've been clear about on this show, and I've talked about this before because this is sort of a recycled topic, and in the blog world, that all heresy is damnable and in that it should be condemned as wrong and rejected, but not all heresy is eternally damnable. That being, if you believe it, it means you're going to go to hell. Okay? It's heresy to sprinkle the baby and say, here we have a baptized covenant member of the church. No, we don't. That baby doesn't believe anything. And that's not what baptism is. Okay? Now, are all the Presbyterians going to hell? No. In fact, there's a 60% chance I'm going to a Presbyterian church on Sunday. We'll cover that in a minute. Maybe a 40% chance. Higher than it was last week. How about that? So no, all the Presbyterians and Methodists, because they're paedo-Baptists, are not going to hell, okay? Believing a different gospel is heresy, and if you believe in different gospel, the Bible says that you're cut off. And you're going to hell if you believe a different gospel. If you don't believe the real gospel, you're not saved. So think about all the doctrines that denominations and churches have split over. Sometimes people call these secondary issues or tertiary issues. I never use that terminology because I don't find them in the Bible. But I get what people mean when they say that. Listen, if your pastor stood up and said, I want to start baptizing babies, I'm assuming for the Baptists listening, you would say, sorry, you can't be our pastor anymore. That's heresy, and we're going to have to separate. But nobody's going to say, oh, you're going to hell. Like, nobody thinks Jared Longshore is going to hell now because he used to be in Founders Ministries and be at a Baptist church with Tom Askell, and then is like, well, nope, I'm not going to be in Baptist world anymore. I'm going to go work for Doug Wilson and be a Presbyterian. And nobody's like, oh no, you're going to hell, Longshore. And the same thing for you Presbyterian listeners. If your pastor gets up tomorrow and says, I'm under the conviction that we're going to only immerse professed believers, you'll fire him, but you're not going to damn him. You're going to go to hell. Nobody's going to think that. So listen, heresy is something that separates us, right? So all heresy is damnable. And it's going to separate us as church members. But it doesn't mean just because somebody's wrong about something or has a doctrinal error, they're going to go to hell. It depends on what the error is, right? And I think that's consistent, like I've always said, with just the definition of heresy that you'll find in a theological dictionary. I think you can get this on, or at least this portion of the book, on Google Books. Look up Millard Erickson Concise Dictionary of Christian Theology. And look what it says heresy is. It's just a belief that's against the Bible. Now the problem is, I'm looking at the Presbyterian and say, you're wrong. He's looking at me and says, no, Seth, you're wrong. And well, how do you know I'm wrong, Seth? Well, because the Bible says so. And he goes, nuh-uh, the Bible says you're wrong. And you see, well, we got a disagreement on what the Bible says. But we have an agreement about what the authority is. Okay? So heresy is just a doctrine that's against the Bible. And I got news for you, Baptists. If paedo-baptism is the biblical position, then we're all heretics, and we've got some splaining to do when we get to heaven. But I always joke, I said, when I get to heaven in the resurrection, I'll be baptizing Presbyterians. That's what I'll be doing. And now what about heresy versus heterodoxy? Heterodoxy is a general term. It's not a theological one. I mean, it is a theology. You can use it in terms of theology, but you can use it in terms of anything. If you have a left-handed batter in baseball, and he puts his left hand on the bottom and his right hand on the top when he grips the bat, you would say his batting stance or his grip is heterodox, because that's not how everybody else hits. That's not the acceptable way. So to be heterodox is just to reject the accepted or standard orthodoxy. So guess what the Roman Catholic Church would have said Martin Luther was? Heterodox. And they'd say, me and you were heterodox. Unless you're one of the Catholics listening to the show. Sometimes the Catholics listen. So there's some standard out there. Now Christians, what should our standard be? The Bible. So what is something that goes against the Bible? It's heresy. Now there are some churches out there that will accept heterodoxy and they won't have a problem with it. Cross Point City Church is one. If you go back and listen to one of my very first sermon reviews at whycrosspoint.com, the pastor says the position of our church is XYZ. I think he says Reformed Charismaticism. That's the position of our church. That's what he says. And then he says, well, some of you out there don't agree with that. They would be considered heterodox then. But they accept them in their heterodoxy. Right? So, Roman Catholics have all their standards in the catechism, right? Supposedly based on the Bible and the magisterium. And anything against that's heterodox by their definition of what the standard is. Because they say, we're the church. Well, I don't agree that you're the church. The standard's the Bible, and I'd say you're heterodox. So that's what heterodoxy is, just generally speaking. Listen, Jeff, sometimes people like to differentiate between heresy and heterodoxy. That's a false dilemma. And that's just sort of one of these peacemaking dilemmas people have. Oh, no, he's not a heretic. He's just heterodox. Because we don't want to talk bad about people we like. When I'm finished with YElevation.com, I'm definitely going to have some Chris Roseborough videos embedded in there. Because he does great sermon reviews. And I'm like, no, see, he's just heterodox. I know he's a Lutheran and he believes in baptismal regeneration. Baptismal justification for babies. He's just heterodox. He's not a heretic. No, he's a heretic. I wouldn't allow Chris Roseborough to be a member of my church. Or R.C. Sproul's dead. I can't name a current famous. Ligon Duncan, how about that? Or Ligon Duncan. Are you saying they're going to hell? Absolutely not. Are you saying they're wrong about everything? Absolutely not. We have a disagreement on this issue. We'll figure it out when we get to heaven. And we will no longer see as in a glass darkly, but everything will be clear. This is America. We're not burning heretics at the stake. All right? We could still, to some degree, agree with, have fellowship, and cooperate with one another. I'm not out denying people's salvation, but at the same time, I want to have a very concise and simple definition of heresy. I think mine's pretty biblical when it comes to church discipline and when you have to separate. So thanks for writing in, Jeff. And speaking of separation, we'll transition here. Sunday, which was food day, hooray! Sunday was my last Sunday at First Baptist Church in Cartersville. The elders told me Monday, went out to lunch with a couple of them. They told me, don't come back. You are not allowed to come back to church. Now let me say this. I am not now, nor have I ever been, a member of the First Baptist Church in Cartersville. And that's sort of a long, convoluted story that you longtime listeners know. But I've been going there with my family for 5 years. I've never joined, never really had the intention to join because I don't see eye to eye with them. But it's a Baptist church and their doctrine is my doctrine. And it was a fine place to take my kids. And as you listeners already know, longtime listeners know, I am a member of a church, of a Baptist church. It's just not in this town. It's just not in Cartersville. And I'm licensed to the ministry out of that church. And I've physically been to that church. And I consider the pastor of that church my pastor. And if he wanted to exercise some ecclesiastical authority over me, I would acquiesce to that. If it was biblical, of course. But it's a weird sort of situation, unusual situation. And it started when I got thrown out of the membership of the Demonic Church of Freemasonry, Roland Springs Baptist Church, when I stood up against the church's acceptance of the demonic cult of Freemasonry. And a bunch of the people in the church did not agree with me. And I'm not going to rehash that here. You listeners know that story. If this is your first time listening, you've never heard that before. I've got a book about it. I've got a blog published about it. But when I left, I was like, well, where am I going to go? Because if I thought any of the current churches in Cartersville were churches I should join, I would have joined them instead of Roland Springs. And at the same time, I was like, I don't know what Baptist church I'm going to go to, because there are no Reformed Baptist churches in Cartersville, that will reject Freemasons. And it's not like a thing like, this is a deal breaker for me. The deal breaker is, well, there should be some idea of holiness in the church. Like, it's just not whatever goes. Like, if somebody's a syncretist, I don't care how long they've been a member and how much money they give, we need to restore that person in a Christian spirit. And that's just an example. If a church accepts a Freemason in membership, then their standard of church discipline is not biblical. And to me, it's the same as accepting an adulterer or a swindler or an idolater. It's like, I don't think you have a serious idea of church membership if, one, you're not doing church discipline at all, and two, Freemasonry is okay. So I looked at all the Baptist churches in Cartersville, and I said, whatever church I joined, I would be obligated under Matthew 18 to go to the first Freemason I saw. And listen, I know who they are because I study their website. I know the lodge number in town, 63. I'm familiar with some of the guys in Emerson. They know who I am. I view the lodge like the Mormon church or the Kingdom Hall come to roost in the Baptist church. And I'm like, well, I gotta, you know, what am I gonna do? And I was like, well, you know, I like to go to the Presbyterian church. I'm not going to join it, but they don't sing Hillsong garbage. There's no at the time, there was not a Reformed Baptist church in Cartersville. And you look at the little Presbyterian church, which is next door to Cross Point, and you think, I'm gonna go there, the sermons are gonna be biblical, unless he's talking about paedo-baptism. The music is going to teach me and my children something about the Lord. It's not going to be Hillsong and Elevation and Bethel. They're going to go through the regulative principle with regard to their worship, and it's not going to be a Purple Haze light show. It's going to be about teaching the people about the Bible. It's going to be liturgical worship. I don't know if they have a liturgy schedule, but it's going to be a more high church worship, which is, you know, great. And if you're not, I'm a Baptist. I'm a low church Baptist like you guys who listen. But that was my thing. And my wife is like, I don't want to go there. You know, we're talking about where are we going to go. The first week after we got kicked out of Rolling Springs, or just me, really, just like, well, I got to go to church somewhere, so we visited Tabernacle. Well, they called and said, you know, don't come back here. You just got kicked out of this other church. And I didn't hold that against them because they're just trying to honor the discipline of a sister church. I didn't hold it against them at all. And fun fact, I'm now allowed to go to Tabernacle again. I called and got that straightened out. So sometimes I do go there. My kids go to preschool there. I don't know. I have friends there. I have no problem, you know, with them. And I hope they don't have a problem with me. It's like, oh, it's Mother's Day. I want to go to church with my mother. I might go there. Or it's Christmas Eve. I might go to Christmas Eve service there. You know, I'm not banned from campus. So my wife went and asked First Baptist, hey, listen, can we come here? We got to go somewhere. And they said, well, come talk to us first. And I talked to the pastor at the time. His name was Jeremy. He's no longer the pastor there. And one of the elders, and they're like, well, you know, people have concerns with you coming here, given your reputation, Seth. And I said, you know what? Here's the deal. I just need some place to take my kids to Sunday school and some place to not forsake the gathering together of the brethren, preferably Baptist. I don't want to be a member of your church. I'd get kicked out in a week because I said this, your Freemasons are your problem. Not mine. I've done my Matthew 18 diligence. I've done my duty. And I'm not here to, you know, start a fight about that. It's on you if you're going to allow that there. And they have a couple. And yeah, I was like, whatever problems are your problems, music, whatever. All the typical problems we have in American evangelicalism, I said, your problems are your problems. And I'm not going to say anything about it. It's like you got diplomatic immunity. How about that? And you guys always say on here, I never criticize First Baptist. And I've kept my word for 5 years. Now, they may do things that other churches do, and I'll say generally, like, I don't like this common church practice. But I've never been on here complaining about one of their ministers or something they do that I disagree with, which, as you can imagine, a lot. It's a typical FBC in America. Southern Baptist world. There's a lot there I don't agree with. Okay, fine. And so that's what I told them, and I've kept my word on that. Somebody might disagree with me, but I've kept my word on that, and that's where I've been all this time. And it gotten to the point there where all I do, and you guys know this, is I would just go to Sunday school. So they have a 9 o'clock hour and a 10:30 hour, and I would get up at 8, and I'd take my kids to their 9 o'clock Sunday school class. I would not go into the church service because I was just too offended by what their standard for a worship service is. Hillsong, Elevation. Preaching's fine. It's a good preacher. Preaches doctrinally, that's fine. But I'm not going to go in there and subject myself to... I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to either take myself or to my children to any more worship services where they sing Elevation music and whatnot. It's just wicked, and I don't want... I personally... You have your own... We're a Baptist. Y'all all out there have your own conscience. I can't sit through that. Because when I hear those songs, all I can think about is all the deceived people that those false teachers are taking advantage of, all those sheep without a shepherd. And it just really just makes me want to weep. It just tears me up. It makes me sad and it makes me angry. And I just can't be around it. Think about it like this. Sorry for the analogy. Like Michael Jackson. You used to love Michael Jackson songs are good. Da-na-na-na-na, Joe beat it. And then, you watch these HBO documentaries, and I'm pretty sure he was a child molester. So now if Pretty Young Thing comes on the radio, I want to love you, P-Y-T, Pretty Young Thing. You know, it's like, it's a rocking song. Like, no, it's Michael Jackson talking about pretty young things. He's a pedophile. It reminds me of that. Right? He's somebody who's... I know there's plenty of musicians who are horrible people. But I can enjoy their music. Like, I can listen to Fleetwood Mac and it doesn't bother me that Stevie Nicks might be a witch. I think Witchy Woman is about Stevie Nicks by Don Henley. You have to Google that. But I listened to Fleetwood Mac this morning. And I'm just like, well, you know... These are not upstanding Christian people, but they're not child molesters, okay? But I just can't be in a worship service where they're going to turn on the lights, turn on the haze machine, and play Elevation. And even if there's no lights and haze machine, all I can think about is Stephen Furtick in his $2,000 sweater twisting God. Jesus is my Savior. That's my Lord and Savior. If somebody talked bad about my mom and dad or my brother or my wife or misused them in some way, like did something evil or wicked in the name of my wife or my family, I would be incensed. And they're doing it in names of my king. That's my king, Stephen Furtick, who you profane. And I will not stand for you who profane my king for your music to come into worship service. I cannot. I cannot abide it. So it got to the point at First Baptist where I would just... This is not healthy. This is not good. I would take my kids to Sunday school. I'd sit in the lobby. I'd drink a tea. And I'd either talk to a friend or write a blog article on Pulpit and Pen. And that was my Sunday morning routine. And then when their Sunday school class was over, I'd go get them. And I'd take them to my Sunday school class because I'm not going to expose my children to that type of music. And I'd sit in my Sunday school class and I'm like, here I am. I have not forsaken the gathering together of the brethren. This is my Christian community. You know, you can say that's sort of like on Office Space. What would you say about somebody who does the bare minimum? But First Baptist Church, for you Office Space fans, was it four pieces of flair or three pieces of flair? I'm not forsaking the gathering together of the brethren. I'm training my children up the way they should go. And let me say this. I adore the preschool ministry people there, Jamie and her team, and the volunteer people in the children's ministry, Jean and Nancy and Ben and Kristen, and all the people who've helped me disciple and teach my kids about the Bible. And sorry, I don't know the names of my son's Sundays, all their Sunday school teachers. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out. Casey, I don't want to leave her out, who's been my child's Sunday school teacher before. I adore y'all. Thank you for helping me disciple my kids and teach them their Bible stories and helping lead them to Christ. Thank you. I adore those children's ministry volunteers. And I love them. And the people in my Sunday school class, which has been my local Christian community for these 5 years, who've been there for me, you know, when my wife is sick and is on bed rest with a baby or something like that, and they're bringing meals to our house, and just the people I sit with and talk about the Bible with every Sunday. I miss them. They're important people to me. And part of the reason why I wouldn't leave First Baptist is I didn't want to leave those people. I didn't want to leave that community that I had. Because especially for anybody, but especially somebody like me, it's hard to develop community. And just to be real transparent, I go to my therapist every month. How are you dealing with work? How are you dealing with your family? And you know, I have all these coping mechanisms because I have the Asperger's that I have developed to help me get along better in society. And I feel like most of the time I'm really not firing on all cylinders, firing on more cylinders than I have, if that makes sense. But whenever she'd ask me, like, how's church? I'm like, miserable. I hate it. I hate it there. I feel like Smith in The Matrix. If you've ever watched The Matrix, and Smith takes his ear off and says, I'm going to tell you a secret, Mr. Anderson. I hate it here. I hate it. I hate it there. Love my Sunday school class. Love the children's ministry. You guys know I love Wednesday nights. The Wednesday night salad bar. Good times and good people there, but just overall, as far as just the worship, it's not me, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or say anything like telling you other people, you don't need to do that, you don't need to do that, because like I've said, you know, your problems are your problems, and I've just kind of stifled it, like Archie Bunker, stifle it, Edith, I see that, you know, and it's like, it's mostly the music, but it's other things too. Various ideas of church membership. And it just, the short of the story is like, I don't have the same idea as the elders and leadership there. I have a lot of the same ideas and a lot of the same doctrines, but of what biblical holiness really is. And guys, when you get churches of 1,000 people, we've all been around it. It's almost too big to manage in a biblical way. And like I said, it's like, guys, I don't want to be a member of your church, and I'm not going to criticize you, and I'm not going to run down your people. But nevertheless, you people who, I have a reputation around town, you people who listen to me out in the blogosphere and the podcast sphere, like, oh, I want to know what Seth's take is on that. But some of the people who know me personally, just know me through reputation around town, they don't like me. And there's a lot of people in blog world who don't like me, because they don't like pulpit and pen, fine. And just going back, the first few therapy sessions I had with my therapist, I love my therapist. She's been very helpful to me. First Baptist Church paid for them. The pastor said, here, I'm going to send you to this person, and you're going to talk to them. And they got me started there. And they paid, you know, I don't know, 5 or 10 sessions. I don't remember. But, I mean, they didn't owe me anything. And they didn't owe my family anything. And there was people, gossipy, backbiting type people, from the very beginning in the pastor's ear, we don't want them here, we don't want him here, we don't want him here. And they said, well, we're not going to be the church that turns somebody away who wants to worship. All right. And those people didn't stop liking me. And my blogging and talks about Southern Baptist world and evangelical world never really went away. But, you know, I'm not lobbing mortar shells at First Baptist Church. Not like I told him, your problem is your problem. They're not on me. On the day of judgment, those elders who let Freemasons be Freemasons, that's on them. On the day of judgment, those elders who like whatever music people want to listen to in the purple haze, that's on them. It's not on me. But anyway, the Cross Point billboard was just a bridge too far from them. The Melder, and they talked to me before, like, you know, we have a problem with this Facebook post. It hurt this other person's feelings. Go apologize to them. There's been stuff like that, and I've apologized to them. I don't have a problem with apologizing to people. I don't want to offend people, especially people that I attend church with. But they're like, Seth, we think the whycrosspoint.com site is ungodly, and, you know, you can't come to church here anymore. All right. Obviously, I disagree with them that it's ungodly. And for them, it may be something new, but to me, it's not. You guys know that some of those sermon reviews are 2 years old, and that I've been planning on doing this for a while. But the billboard on Easter, they got phone calls about from inside and out. So, the billboard too far is, I'm not allowed to go back there. Now, I want to cover this a little in the podcast because I think it's church things we need to talk about. But let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go nuclear on them and condemn them like I have Roland Springs, all right? It's a different animal. I'm not going to drive by First Baptist Church and say, there's the First Baptist blah, you know, like I do with Roland Springs. I was a member of Roland Springs. Joe Ringwalt's a hireling. He betrayed me. He betrayed the Lord, and he betrayed his calling. And all those people there went along with him. And may the Lord be the judge between us, me and those people. I would love reconciliation with them someday, but I'm not going to reconcile with wickedness. I know they don't agree with me, but you know, it's one of those things. Which one of us is a heretic, Jeff? Which one of us is heterodox? Which one of us is doing the biblical thing? I don't have any desire to criticize First Baptist Church in that way. Because they, you know, as a whole, the church and the people there have been nothing but good to me and my wife and my kids, with the exception of a bunch of gossipy people who've never really taken the time to get to know me or talk to me when I really just wanted to be left alone, especially by them. But they got some phone calls, both from inside and out of the church, and they're like, well, you can't come here anymore, which was really odd to me because if you've been on, like, on my social media, listen to this podcast, or on my Facebook, I've been saying for years, it's almost a trope on the Christian commute that, oh, it's Cross Point's bad. But the billboard right by the church, I guess they thought was too much. And I understand. I think their issue is this. Whoever they are, they view Cross Point as a sister church, and here's somebody attacking a sister church, and that's ungodly. I view Cross Point as an ecclesiastically false church with a deceptive leadership and wrong orthopraxy, to say the least, Jeff, and something that, you know, they say you're being divisive, and I'm like, well, I want everyone to divide from Cross Point City Church. I don't want people to stop going to church. I want them to stop going to church there. And not just there. That's why Elevation. That's why I'm doing this series of websites. It's kind of the thing, like, the guy I'm doing the websites with thinks it's a great idea. But it's not that I don't get it. Like, who in the world, Seth, is going to buy a billboard that says, you know, don't go to this church? That seems, nobody would do that but me. I know I am one of the few who would do that, but like I said, the billboard is probably a bad idea. Facebook advertising, more bang for your buck. And I told them, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could have stayed and kept going there if I'd agreed to take the website down and apologize, but I told them, I said, I'm not going to take it down. I'm just going to make more. Like, Al Pacino in Sin of a Woman. Are you quite through, Colonel Slade? Like, oh, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting warmed up. I mean, Elevation's the big fish, right? So, I disagree with them on a lot of things. I disagree with them on their take to Crosspoint. I'm gonna leave you this guy. I'll leave this for you guys to ponder until we record part two. When should a church tell someone that he can't come to their church service? When should a church tell someone, when and if, especially a non-member, should a church say, we don't even want to allow you to attend? All right. And this is something that I just want people to think through together. And I think a lot of people who listen to the show are going to be surprised, because I'm not going to be throwing Hadoukens out of my hand like Street Fighter, like Ryu and Ken on Street Fighter at First Baptist, because I disagree with them. I've been disagreeing with some of those guys for 5 years on stuff. It's okay to disagree with people. You know, it's not going to be like the Roland Springs thing. That may surprise people. I want to talk about this objectively. I want you guys to just sort of think through this, because church membership and holiness and there's got to be expectations. And I really want to go through, and I'm like, to try and not condemn anybody and seem petty in any way. But the point is this, and whatever the hill God has given you to die on, you might have to die on that hill. And I didn't know that for me at this stage in my life that I was going to get blowback like I've gotten from whycrosspoint.com. I mean, I thought I was going to get, you know, some sneers in town, but I was just kind of under the impression that everybody, you know, people at First Baptist or XYZ Baptist knew how bad Crosspoint was, and that's why they didn't go there. Because quite frankly, Crosspoint takes all the Baptist people who want to bebop to coffee. Where do they think they take them from, you know? So we're going to examine the situation. And I'll tell you this. Whenever somebody says, especially if it's an older person, what you're doing is wrong, you need to sit back and say, well, let me consider if it's wrong or not. Let me consider, number one, is it sinful? Or number two, is it a really bad, stupid idea like Whiskey Theology Club? And we'll just have to ponder that tomorrow, because I want my meatball sub. So that's an update on me. And I know there's a handful of people I go to church with who listen to this podcast from time to time. I guess I can see if you want to go to Firehouse Subs with me or somewhere. Don't be a stranger, but I ain't going to see you Sunday. So God bless. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. And remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.